discovering stories of courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
A survivor, believer, and a fighter. Today, we'll discover a remarkable individual with a story to inspire us all. Tasha Hsu suffered a tragic accident, leaving her paralyzed from the chest down. But in its aftermath, she's found life lessons that have given her great purpose and great hope. Since 2007, she has been traveling across the country, inspiring and challenging to overcome and persevere no matter what life throws at us. In addition to her speaking, she's a published author and the founder of the Inspirational Pit Crew Campaign, which we'll talk about more here in just a moment. Welcome to the show, Tasha. It's an honor to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me.
You've just come from speaking to a huge collection of college students at University of Northwestern as part of their Disability Awareness Week. Was that a remarkable experience for you?
Amazing. Amazing. It was such a powerful time being able to speak and meet just amazing students who have such solid faith and just encouraging in this world. So it was great.
It's very cool. And you travel as part of a team with your husband, who is here as well, right?
Yes, correct. Yes, we are a great team.
Hello.
How are you doing, sir?
Very well. We have a lot of fun together doing this, and it's very encouraging and fulfilling. Mm.
And do college students ever throw anything at you?
No, thankfully not. Like I said earlier, nothing but love. That's what they...
And they laugh at our jokes, which makes us feel good.
Yes. That's always encouraging.
Now, I think before we get to talking about this incredible ministry that you guys have, it probably makes the most sense to go back to the beginning of the story and just start at the beginning. So, Tasha, take me back to childhood for you for a moment and set the scene for us. Where did you grow up and what was your family like?
I grew up in Ellsworth, Wisconsin, in a small town in rural Wisconsin. Cheese curds is our claim to fame in Ellsworth. And was a really just happy-go-lucky kid. My parents owned the grocery store in town, and so my family was really well-known in the community. My dad sang at every wedding and funeral and every music group, choir that was around. And so, yeah, I had a really great childhood. And as I got older, I got involved in things like sports, volleyball, basketball, loved to sing like my dad did. And so just really, I was the youngest of three children. My sister was 8 years older than me. My brother was 5 years older than me. And so I was the baby, very spoiled. They still say that that hasn't changed. But so just a typical childhood and a typical life growing up.
Now, this is probably not the central thing somebody should have taken from that answer, but were cheese curds invented in Ellsworth?
They were not. I don't think they were invented.
Okay.
But we were titled as the cheese curd capital of Wisconsin.
Okay, fair enough.
So, yeah, I never knew that they were such a delicacy until I grew up in and now see how they go all over the country. So it's pretty cool.
So where was your faith story at as a young person? Did you grow up in a house where faith was a big part of the family?
I grew up where we went to church every week. And we went to a small country church. And I believed in God. And I would say so did my parents and my family. But it was not... it was more of a Sunday morning thing that we did. It was not a day-to-day lifestyle. And so that would really change later on in life.
At what point did you discover that acting and theater were a passion of yours? You mentioned the singing, so that was pretty early on then.
Yes. I had always hoped that I would just get a little bit of my father's talent because music was a part of my life growing up. My dad was always singing. If it was not a TV jingle, it was a song from the oldies. I mean, country, he would just always was singing. And my dad had a beautiful voice. And so I just hoped that I would be able to have some of that talent. And so we sang a lot. I used to go to my dad's concert practices and group practices and listen to them and sing along. I knew all the lines, all the words. And so as I got older, I started singing more in choir and started to get solos and duets and things like that, and just started to blossom in that talent. And that's really where it started. And then in my eighth grade year of junior high, I had the opportunity to be a part of a church play. And silly enough, it was called Nanny Bird. I still laugh about it. I had to squawk like a bird. It was pretty funny. But that is really where my love for theater and passion for singing started. It was my very first big solo, if I can even say that. But, I mean, not many people came to the play, but it was, for me, it was a big deal.
Oh, of course.
It was really kind of stepping out into this talent and really seeing that people enjoyed it and kind of gaining that confidence. And I had always loved the musical Grease, and my mom had actually taken me to New York my eighth grade year to see Grease on Broadway. And lo and behold, my high school, when I got back, announced that they were going to be putting on that very production of Grease. It would have been my sophomore year. And so I already knew all the lines and I already knew all the music. So I was just really hoping to get a chorus role, and I ended up getting the lead. And so I got to be Sandy, and I was super excited in that, and just in that really saw that I had a gift. I had a talent of singing, that people enjoyed it, and was really, you know, for me, I really struggled in the day-to-day of being different from my friends. By the time I was 15, I was 5'11", and all my friends were 5'2". I did not like what I saw when I looked in the mirror. I had boys in school that teased me about having a big nose. And so I really, really became a follower in the popular crowd. And I had a lot of self-esteem issues. And by singing and being on stage, it showed me that I had a gift that made me unique and that it was good to be different. And so it was really a time in my life where I was beginning to grow in myself and in my confidence of myself.
That's the voice of Tasha Hsu. She is a speaker, an author, and founder of the Pit Crew campaign. She's bringing great hope to others through the tragic accident that left her paralyzed from the chest down. And we're here on the road for Faith Radio, and I'm Ryan Thomas. So as you are in this period of your life where there's so much joy and so much discovery of talent, then, of course, as we can anticipate, is going to come the moment where you suffer this accident. Can you just take us behind how it played out?
Oh, yeah. It's still hard to believe even today. But when I was finished with Grease, my high school announced that they were going to be doing a musical the following year, and it was going to be The Wizard of Oz. And I was excited for this because I was actually cast as a chorus member instead of the lead. And people think, oh, were you demoted? It was like, no, this is what I wanted, because I actually really wanted to pursue this as a career. And so I wanted to learn the behind the scenes of theater. I wanted to know the technical details of everything. And that's really where the tragedy happened, the last place I ever thought possible. And so what happened was, we were rehearsing. We were really down to the wire. We were three nights before our opening night. And for anybody listening that's ever been involved in theater, it's crunch time and you're never ready, you're never prepared. So things were really chaotic. And I was standing on stage. It was actually November 11th of 1997, standing on stage helping with the scene change, when someone told me to move out of the way, because they were actually going to be putting a prop onto the stage right where I was standing. So I then stepped backward, just one step, and soon realized that there was no ground underneath my foot. And as you can imagine, utter confusion filled my mind as I instantly began falling. Time went into slow motion, and soon I was actually laying in the basement of the theater. And everybody was rushing to me. I heard people screaming. I had no idea what had just happened, except that I was in extreme pain. My head is what hit the cement floor first. And then my body came second. And in that only left one place of where they met, and that was my neck. And in that moment, I heard my neck break. And of course, I didn't know what that meant. I was 16 years old, thinking that I was invincible and nothing bad could happen to me.
Yeah.
But it was shortly after this that I started realizing this is really serious. And what had happened was that I know now is literally seconds before I took that step backward, they had removed the cover off of the trapdoor on stage, because that's what the prop that they were moving was going over this trapdoor for a theatrical effect that they were going to be doing. And this was the first time that I had been on stage while this was happening. So I had no idea what was occurring in this next scene. But the end result is that I fell 16 feet to a cement floor, breaking my neck, and was now going to be a C5 quadriplegic. I was never going to walk again. And every dream that I had at this point in my life included walking. And so I was devastated when I heard this news. I can't even fully explain how saddened I was. These words don't do justice to the pain that I was about to go through.
Wow. Well, it's an extraordinary moment to even hear described. And I think we try to sort of go into that moment, each of us, of how would it feel? What would we say? And I think one of the things that I would wonder is, did it take some time for you to sort of accept it as reality? I mean, was there a period there where you're just like, no, this isn't this
Oh,
isn't
my
me.
Goodness. Yeah, I went through denial for quite a while. I mean, all the stages of grief, you know, I had psychology and school, and so I knew what they were expecting, and I was like, I'm not, those stages aren't real. And now I look back and I'm like, oh yes, I went through every single one of them. Denial and anger and just grief beyond, and depression of just a deep dark hole that I never thought that I would come out of.
Once you came home, and once you started to live the everyday of life again, how did you begin to cope with sort of the reality of how life had changed for you?
Yeah, this was such a journey for me. It was a roller coaster every day. I'd have one good day and then two bad days and then another good day, and just it's so unpredictable. And yet I was surrounded by a lot of amazing people. And as we talk about the Pit Crew movement and campaign, that's why I'm really passionate about it, because I know that I would not be where I am today without the people that stood by me, even though there were days where I was angry and bitter and probably not the easiest person to be around. And laughter and music. But it really wasn't until God really revealed himself to me that's where the greatest change took place. And that's where I had peace and hope for the first time since the accident happened.
That is the voice of Tasha Hsu. She's a speaker, author, and founder of the Pit Crew campaign. She's bringing great hope to others through the tragic accident that she experienced, and we're here on the road. Well, you mentioned the relationship with God.
Yes.
Take us a little bit through that journey. Was there anger at God at first?
Oh, yes. Yeah, because there was nobody else that I could blame. And that was what I wanted, somebody to blame. And I know there was negligence at the theater, but I knew every single person there were devastated by this happening, and nobody had ill intent. And I know that. And I knew that from the beginning. These were all my friends.
Yeah.
The director was good friends with my parents. I mean, so the only way I could look was to God. And I grew up going to church, hearing God has a good plan for your life. And I honestly felt that he forgot about me and didn't care, didn't see what I was going through. And I was really upset that he allowed this to happen. And so, yeah, I was angry and did not go to church for a year. I didn't pray. And a lot of people came to the hospital to pray over me, pray for a miracle. And I was like, okay, yes, God, please do this. Do a miracle. And that wasn't happening. And it was lots of questions and lots of frustration. And yet he continued to put people in my life that continued to tell me that he could turn this for good and that he could use this. And I was like, yeah, that's easy for you to say. You got to walk into my hospital room and you got to walk out and go back to your normal life. And yet it's so true. It's exactly what he had planned. And it was not overnight, but it was a church play of where everything changed. And I'm so thankful for those people that invited me to that play and my mother who forced me to go because I didn't want to go. And she was like, you still live under my roof. You're going. And I'm so thankful for that.
So the church play.
Yep.
Tell us a little bit about the significance of that moment.
Yeah, I was invited to this play and had no idea what it was. To me, it sounded boring. I was like, oh, a church play. You know, how great can this be? And now I know that it was a divine appointment that God had in his planner just for me. And it was just such a significant moment. And the fact from the second the play started until it ended, I was amazed. It was like every word was just for me. And I saw how, you know, for me growing up, when I read stories in the Bible, heard stories in the Bible, even the story of Jesus, to me, it was just that. It was a story. It was a nice story. And in this play, it came alive. And I saw how Jesus came to this earth and lived a sinless life and then died on the cross. And when people prior to this had asked me, who is Jesus to you? My response would be, he's the savior of the world. And in this play, for the first time, I saw that I was a sinner and that I needed a savior. Hmm. He wasn't just the savior, that he could be my savior. And it was in this moment where I invited him into my life and as my Lord and as my Savior. And immediately I had peace that I had been looking for in all these other places, in being popular and having a boyfriend and compromising. And, you know, I made a lot of poor choices before the accident and kind of was actually on a not so good road even before. And the fact that I was just really falling into peer pressure and thought that these things would make me happy, thought that these things would give me peace. And here I am inviting Jesus into my life, and there's the peace that I've been looking for.
Wow.
And it was instantaneous. I was like, oh my gosh, and I could just feel in this church my heart changing and feeling like almost God was just doing heart surgery right there. And I knew I was just filled with such emotion, knowing that God was real. And even though it would take time, it was not an overnight transformation by any means of my faith walk, but him just taking my hand and not letting me go and just walking me through the struggles that I still had yet ahead. And the crazy thing is God began just becoming such a significant part of my life and showing me miracles and just taking care of me in such amazing ways that every single one of my family members followed by becoming a Christian within the year after I became a Christian. And so God was just, it was so awesome to see what he was doing, and they could not deny it. And so it was awesome to see what God was even doing in my family members and what a significant work he was doing in our lives. And
wow,
it's just amazing.
That is Tasha Hsu, her amazing story today on the road. Tasha is a speaker, an author, and the founder of the Pit Crew campaign, bringing great hope to others through the accident that left her paralyzed from the chest down. And I guess, I mean, you do so many great things. I'm just wondering what the path was like, you know, from this moment where you have this moment of really spiritual rediscovery to discovering this great purpose that you guys are now traveling all over the place and sharing this message of hope. Tell us a little bit about the journey to starting that.
Oh, man. Yeah. What God did in the years following of just, first of all, developing in my faith and my walk and going to college. And I got my first bachelor's degree in communication studies, really feeling that he wanted me to speak. I mean, my story was not all that inspirational at the time, but I knew someday I was going to be speaking and sharing my faith story, and then getting my degree in theology and really growing in that, in reading the Bible and understanding the Bible and just growing in my relationship with God. Just things began to turn around so in crazy ways of just starting to really love my life. And this definitely took time. This was years in the making, but just starting to see that even though I was sitting in this wheelchair, that life was still worth living and life was great. And just him giving me a passion for people and wanting to help people live life to the fullest and live with that relationship and sharing purpose and all these things that I had been learning about myself. I was like, people need to know this. Like, I have to share this message. And him opening the doors of just, I mean, you don't fill out a resume to be an inspirational speaker. It's all word of mouth. I was like, okay, God, you told me to do this. Now you need to open the doors. And that's exactly what he did. And just, you know, people ask me, so how did you get into this? And I'm like, it's only God. That's the only way I can explain it, because I started speaking and I was so nervous. My first speaking engagement, I didn't think I was going to make it through it, because it's scary putting yourself out there and being vulnerable in front of people. And yet every time I finished, people would just come up to me and tell me how they needed that message and how they were meant to be there and really at the difficult places that they were at that time and how my story encouraged them. And it just became my passion and became really a calling that I knew that this was what God had called me to do. And what he's done is phenomenal. I mean, we travel all over. My husband and I do this full time together, and we love every engagement that we do.
Well, Tasha and Doug have been with us here on the road, and our time always goes quickly, even though the number sounds kind of big when you start out at 26 minutes. It just goes and goes. And so we're so grateful for both of you being here. I think somebody who maybe doesn't have hope today, whatever the situation is, maybe they're in a situation like yours where something happened that they had no way of anticipating, and they're just wondering, you know, how to get back to normal life from it. You have really indicated that there is hope and there is joy after a turn in life's road like this. Can you just reiterate why you believe that is?
It's the truth. I would have never imagined that my life would be this good today. And my favorite word is hope, because hope means that better days are ahead, that the best is yet to come. And I know what it's like to feel hopeless. I know what it's like to want to give up and quit. And yet today, I've done more sitting in this wheelchair, and I'm so thankful every day that I held on, that I didn't give up, that I did not quit, that I clung to my faith, and I surrounded myself with people that loved and encouraged me. And I wouldn't change anything that I've been through. If that's where someone is today that's listening to this, hold on. Don't give up. And I know that you'll see better days ahead.
Well, you can't ask for a much better word to end on than that. Guys, if people want to find out more about you, about the Pit Crew, about your ministry, Tasha, where can they go to do that?
Our website is the best. That's www.tashashu.com.
Perfect. It's been a joy to have you both in today. Thanks so much for taking the time.
Thank you.
Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit myfaithradio.com.